The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dom, I'm calling this one Super Wednesday, the Hangover Edition. And I got a fine co-devil. He's sticking around. He is Scott Ross, Firebrand, Gemini, Pundit, Flamethrower. And recently, Dom, the guy got married. He's a married man.
Congratulations, Scott Ross. Good to see you, Crudy. I prefer to call it Super Hump Day. It just sounds better that way. Nate, working the board, of course, our audience. Thank you for tuning in, hanging out, having a political party with us.
You know, last night was the last viable political night of Nikki Haley's career. Do you think? I mean, she's done. Stick a fork in her. She stayed too long. She overstayed her welcome, Scott. Like Dom often does.
First one there, last one to leave, man.
Yeah, it was, it was surprising given where the Republican Party is these days that a woman of color was unable to break through in a national election, decided state by state by state, and that it happened and ended so quickly. It was quite shocking.
Shocking.
I saw a descriptor from a Trump supporter, heard it on right-wing talk radio. Apparently, she didn't have sufficient balls to scratch.
There you go. Yes, I saw
the
that.
The Trump supporter would not vote for a woman because she didn't have the right appendages to scratch.
Shocking. And there's gambling in Casablanca. I'm just shocked, I tell you.
Absolutely. In fact, I saw something where the lunatic who Republicans have nominated in North Carolina, Holocaust denier, also said in 2020 that we need to go back to a time before women had the right to vote.
Oh, the good old days. I mean, is this not only the end of Nikki Haley, and of course, Dean Phillips got out as well. Is this the death of what was once the Republican Party? I mean, McConnell's out. He endorsed Trump today. What is left of the Reagan or the grand
Paul
old
Ryan
party?
Republican Party?
Yeah. Yeah, the Paul Ryan Republican Party is the television managers of Milwaukee, their his constituency, because they continue to have Paul Ryan on every time he comes out to say Trump is a bad guy, you know, which he said not a second of when he actually was the Speaker of the House and able to actually do something about it.
Too busy merging agendas,
you know, right? But I want to, Dom, and it's good to see you, but I want to just point one thing out about your cavalier comment about soon to be ex-Congressman Dean Phillips, who ended his juggernaut as well.
Yeah.
His campaign for president lasted 129 days.
Okay.
That is 58 days longer than Scott Walker's presidential campaign. So,
wanker!
I just want to make sure.
All right, thank you.
You know,
I love the perspective, Scott. That's why we love having you around, man.
You know, I consider myself somewhat of an amateur historian.
Wanker could not have dreamed of lasting to Super Tuesday.
Oh, good Lord, no.
He was out before Iowa.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, think about how long ago that was. It was so long ago that the biggest impact that Walker made on the race was that horrifying vine where he was slowly licking his lips during the one debate that he was at in front of the Reagan.
We don't need another apprentice, sir.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, a lot happening. You know, the Trump party nominated Trump, you know, to their detriment. You know, because I think that America, I think it's pretty clear that America, the sanity of America has woken up with regards to Trump in every place that it can compete. Like, for instance, in the state of Wisconsin, where I think we've won nearly every statewide election since Trump in 16 got the electoral vote. So he has been a motivating force for Democrats and independents here in the state of Wisconsin when he's not on the ballot. So now that he's going to be back on the ballot, I think that as long as, you know, Democrats continue to do the work that they have to do, and that's organizing in every single corner of the state, driving out every vote, communicating regularly, all forces pushing in the same direction. It's everybody's job. Make sure that it keeps happening.
The vice president in Madison today declared Kamala Harris Day in Madison, but didn't keep the protesters away. Scott, how much of a problem do you think the Biden-Harris administration have with these young progressives, these pro-Palestinians? They're not going to let this Gaza issue die. And I'm not sure why they are blaming the vice president for genocide at this point. Kind of cringeworthy, but I think it might be an electoral issue. What do you think, Scott?
Well, I think that it's important that people feel like they're being heard, you know, and people are being heard. And I applaud the fact that there are, you know, within a diverse community of voters, that not everybody on the Democratic side is saying, no, you can't criticize anything that the president does because he's a Democrat. And I think that
it depends on the day on the devil's advocates. I get that sometimes.
Yeah. You know, you get my point. Like, you know, people have a right to have their feelings about things and to act accordingly. And I think that's why some of this, you know, uncommitted, the tallies that have, you know, I know I'm getting the name wrong. Like, it's important for people to be able to talk about those things because they are important. And what's going on over there is horrifying, you know, across the board. And so I think it's important for people to be heard, because if they're not heard, that's when they go away and you don't have any chance to get them back to reason with them.
Well, they might have been 45,000 voting uncommitted in Minnesota last night and maybe 100,000 in Michigan that didn't pull the lever for Joe Biden. But Donald Trump's been bleeding the Nikki Haley base up to 40%. Hell, he lost Vermont. He lost the nomination. That's that American Samoa, whoever that Rosie Palmer guy is. But anyways, my point, I think Trump has shown a lot more electoral weakness than Biden certainly has.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, again, you know, you think about just how the national media has obsessed over Biden's age, when he's like, you know, 4 years older than Trump, and where Trump shows real signs of decline. If you listen to his speeches, and I can't, so I rely on people saying it on the internet. But like, it, you know, it's very clear, like, you know, substance abuse has broken his brain. And so it's, you know, it's just, it's nuts that like, we're being told that this race, you know, is, again, those polls from nationally, you know, you got national, you know, credible pollsters who are doing national polls for an election that will be decided state by state, you know, just all those signs. But again, you know, the corporate media out there is owned by Republicans, and they will do anything to ensure that their Republican tax breaks are not compromised by an all Democratic Washington, D.C.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's our pal, Scott Ross. He's a firebrand. He's a Gemini. He's a friend of ours. We appreciate it, Scott. Haley dropping out today said it's up to Trump and did not endorse. What do you think is going to happen with the Haley Trump voters?
So,
the Haley voters. Do you think any of them? What percentage of them actually end up voting for Donald Trump versus staying home or even going to Biden? Do you think that's a chance? There are a lot of open primaries. Scott.
Yeah, it is a difficult question because, you know, a lot of times I've thought the challenge that Democrats have is that there is a whole contingency of Republicans out there, you know, like you think about the suburban white women who think Trump is atrocious, but they can't bring themselves to vote for Biden. you know, or the Democrat. You know, I think that's where, like, the articulation of issues is so very, very important. And I think that's why abortion is such a, you know, continues to be such an important issue for Democrats to communicate to these voters. Because now that it's gone, you know, and or, you know, it's in Wisconsin by, you know, the threat of like one Supreme Court justice. You can fight on these issues, right? You're not always just fighting on what they want to fight, what the other side wants to fight on. You have to capture the turf and articulate yourselves and put them on the defensive. And I think that's so important in the constant communications, and why I want to see Democrats fighting more on that front, including, yep, you know, purchasing ad time on everybody's favorite radio stations.
Absolutely. Scott, the environment, we've been noting this, Crudy and I, over the last couple of days, the political environment that we find ourselves in now will not be the same in 2 weeks and 4 weeks and 12 weeks. You know, things are going to continue to move in fast and unexpected ways, perhaps. In 19 days, Donald Trump goes on criminal trial in Manhattan for the bookkeeping fraudulent Stormy Daniels cover-up case. He could very well be convicted of a crime and have another trial start before the election, Scott. I mean, this is that getting taken into consideration by the national polls at all, in your opinion?
No, because I don't want to go into the, you know, mechanics of the polls, but like any poll that's about an election that says it's, you know, it's people are quote unquote registered voters is garbage, because the only thing that matters is if you are talking to likely voters based on their performance on the voter file. Because again, it's about what's happening with the election. Yes, maybe the mood of the country is a little bit more, you know, a little bit more anti-administration. But in part, that's because, you know, the wider net that you're casting involves people who's, you know, who are like, I'm going to say it's terrible no matter what's going on, because I'm that disengaged from what's going on that I don't even vote. You know, so I don't want to whine about polls, even though that's what I do on Twitter a lot. But it just seems like there's a lot of time between now and the election. Dems have to do what they want to do. But like, I don't think you're going to unbake the cake of the opinion that people have about Trump. And the last election, he was on the ballot. He lost. He lost decisively. And I don't care what the fake electors say, those fake electors who should be in jail.
Well, I'm glad you got to that at the end. Scott Ross, Marion Mann, Gemini, Firebrand. Anything coming up on your calendar other than hanging out with us, maybe?
Yeah, just Thursday.
Thursday. Tomorrow's Thursday.
Exactly.
Tomorrow's the State of the Union address. You watching?
I'll tune in for sure.
Dom always likes to catch the transcript.
Yeah, this one might be a little non-traditional with these megas in the room. So I may have to actually watch that live, see the popcorn get thrown.
Or listen right here on the Civic Media. Come back. Less Scott Ross, more of us. Thanks, Scott. Really appreciate you coming, bro.
Good to see you, man.
Fabulous to see you both.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's Advocates.
Well, it's all.
We are back from the 420 break. It's all right if you give us the call on the lines at 844-967-2789. Happy Super Hump Day to us all.
Dominic, always great to see our buddy Scott Ross. Great to have him come around. What a great news day. I didn't know Scott got married. Kind of snuck that one up on me.
I know, man.
So congratulations to Scott, you know, because any woman that would marry him, I feel for this woman.
There must be lots and lots of love.
As many people feel for my wife.
Who can't love a Gemini? You know what I mean?
We're all Geminis. Does Scott Ross share a birthday with you and Donald Trump?
Yes. Yes. We have the same
June 14th.
Yep. Flag Day, man. Raise all the flags for the great Americans that are Scott Ross and Dominic.
The only flag I see right now is a Palestinian protest flag on State Street. The vice president came to Madison today, and the pro-Palestinian protesters there to meet her on the Capitol Square had the traffic shut down. Couldn't hear it in the room, but when you came out, you could get a sense they were there. So anyways, I still see it going on. My understanding, somewhere in the next 10 or 15 minutes, a pro-Israel march is going to happen here in Madison. Sort of a big day. They've declared it Kamala Harris Day here in Madison. I don't know if you know, Dom, but Kamala Harris lived in Madison, Wisconsin at the age of 5 when her mom was a cancer researcher and her dad apparently an associate professor at UW-Madison. So there's a little history in the making for you. And the mayor of my fair town declared it Kamala Harris Day. And if we play our cards right, someday it could be Devil's Advocate's Day in this town.
We someday.
Have to invite the mayor back on. I suspect that's part of it. Got to grease the wheels and do all the right things, Tom.
I'd prefer a month, but I'll take a day.
June. Somewhere in June.
Exactly. The whole month of June. That's our birthday month. This should be Devil's Advocate Month.
And as I celebrate on the 12th, I also declare it Devil's Advocates Month. That's coming up in June. So, Dom, the Super Tuesday, a little anticlimactic. The only question I had last night watching the Steve Karnacki is, where are the khakis, Steve? He's moved on to navy blue.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, Karnacki, no khakis. He's
known for an outfit? Okay, okay.
He's well, known for the white shirt, the tie, and the khaki pants. You know, no sport coat because he's pushing the big board.
And how is his analysis, man? I mean, you trust what he says to you. You believe the numbers.
Funny
breakdown.
Mrs. Crudy was sitting there watching with me, you know, sort of a captive audience, if you will, as I was watching the Super Tuesday results come in. And she said, you know, listen to him. He kind of reminds me of a weatherman, Steve Karnacki. The powerful votes coming in from this part of the state, you know, it was like they were warning us there was a tornado. Well, tornado Trump coming through.
You know the weatherman and the weatherwomen, you know, they love it when the storms roll into town. You know what I mean? If they could get out there in the hurricane, you know, holding onto their hat as the winds blow and reporting on it, that seems to be, you know, what they may most enjoy. It's like breaking news and big political stuff for us, man. I get that. And I think Karnacki kind of has that in him. I understand what Liza's saying.
Come on, man. I get a little tingle up my leg on election night Tuesdays as well, especially when it's Super Tuesday. But the only real drama last night, twofold. American Samoa. And who's this Rosie Palmer guy? Do you know Joe Biden lost American Samoa? I believe the vote count was 51 to 40. Some rich guy, Dean Palmer, I believe his name, did the Bloomberg and dropped a bunch of money in American Samoa so he could have a ceremonial victory in the presidential primary. And he got 11 more votes than Joe Biden.
And how many votes did he get?
He got 50.
You got 50?
It was like low 50s. Maybe he was 51 and Joe was 40. It was a close race. 40, something like that. Like 11 votes decided that race.
Is it even worth mentioning? You know what I mean? Come on, man. 100 votes? So what?
Only in that I consider myself something of a political junkie, and I was completely unfamiliar with this Rosie Palmer guy running for president. I was wondering if he knows these nuts.
There's lots of folks that run for president, right? I mean, you just
apparently.
See the list. Yes,
yeah, but he won American Samoa. Yeah. Got his name on MSNBC last night.
He got his name on MSNBC. This is what we want. This is the pinnacle of his political career.
The one time we made it on MSNBC, John Nichols got the interview, if you'll recall. The Devil's Advocates made the news. John got the interview. I saw John
I don't know that we actually got on MSNBC, if that's the case.
Well, they talked about the Devil's Advocates interview with then State Senator Dale Schultz here in Wisconsin, and then they interviewed John Nichols on the topic. John was at the Kamala Harris event earlier today, and she's definitely on the campaign trail now. You know, I mean, it's the general election. There's no more messing around. Dean Phillips, he dropped out. Marianne Williamson, she might have to resuspend her recently unsuspended presidential campaign. I at least thought Dean Phillips was clever on his way out the door. Did you see his tweet?
No.
He put a tweet out, and I'd like to congratulate Joe Biden, uncommitted voters, Marianne Williamson, everyone else that beat me numerically in the vote last night. And then he also threw in a last kicker. And Dean Palmer. I just thought at least he showed a sense of humor on the way out the door. I'm not sure why Dean Phillips has been running against Joe Biden, but the experiment it's over, Dom. And apparently the Nikki Haley experiment also over. She dropped out without an endorsement.
Did endorse Joe Biden. And Dean Phillips ran because he was apparently, along with some other folks, concerned about the advanced age of Joe Biden. That's what he said himself, and I'll take him at his word. I have faith in Kamala Harris if anything happens to Joe Biden. And what I don't really enjoy are the fascists that have overtaken the Republican Party. And the difference, of course, Nikki Haley did not endorse. Now, we saw
McConnell. I mean, if you were...
I mean, come on, man. No, hell no. Hell's to the no. But that's, you know, obviously she's in a different position than me.
You know, even the wankers come around on the Donald Trump. Scott Walker is all down for the Trumpster now. He's their messiah. And Nikki Haley did not endorse last night, Dom. I would have been disappointed if she did the full DeSantis. Because didn't DeSantis turn around and endorse immediately?
I mean, right. I don't know.
That's like Ted Cruz. I mean, Trump called his wife ugly at the convention, and then he turned around and endorsed. Mitch McConnell today endorsed Donald Trump.
This is what I'm saying.
Have you no spine, sir? You're leaving the leadership. You don't have to endorse, do you?
Do you? Apparently, he does. On top of the drudge, she's out, referring to Nikki Haley. No endorsement. Then to throw some votes out there. Trump, 1,541,026 votes. Haley, 763,763 votes. So she got about half, according to the headline or the top of the Drudge Report.
Half?
Well, she has half, at least of this.
So she got about half as many as Trump did. That would be about a third. But I know you struggled to do math on the radio, my friend. It's not our strong suit.
763,000 votes to 1.5 million votes. That's
got
about
half as many as he did, but a third of the Republican votes overall. You see how that works?
Of the totality. Yes, I was specifically referring to the amount of trust. She's got some action. She's got.
Just two. Admit you're wrong.
844-967.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Super Wednesday edition. At least we hope it is. The Hangover edition. I didn't stay up too terribly late, but I was cocktailing to the MSNBC last night.
Yeah, big night, huh, Crudy?
I was waiting for the Vermont results. It was Nikki Haley's state. She won the state of Vermont. At one point, there was one vote separating Nikki Haley from Donald Trump. She was up by one vote. She eventually had a larger lead. I didn't see how the delegate disbursement from the great state of Vermont ended up because she quit. I mean, what sort of gumption is that? You don't quit on Super Wednesday. You let it sink in. You consider it. You talk to your family. You ruminate on it. You don't quit on Super Wednesday.
Or is it a suspension? You know, you could unsuspend it after Donald Trump gets convicted in Manhattan in a couple of months.
Who are you, Marianne Williamson, unsuspending your campaign? Dom, I did check the text line. We've got some trolls. I pointed out we've got some new trolls. Welcome.
Thanks
for listening. One said that.
Yeah, it's about time, man. I thought we were doing something wrong.
Scott Ross is a effing idiot. Mainstream media is owned by deep state liberals. Could you introduce me to some of these deep state liberals? Unless he means Sage. I don't know who he means. Also, here's one, Dom, from the WMDX texter questions. Is Flag Day the reason Donald Trump humps the flag? And if so, does Dom hump the flag also?
No, not a big flag humper. That's not my thing.
Not what I hear.
Oh, really? Now, do tell.
Do we have some sound of the recently departed Nikki Haley? We do have some sound.
Recently suspended her campaign. We do have some Nikki Haley.
I'm not dead sound. Yet.
I'm getting better. She did not endorse.
It's not getting better.
She made it this far. Here is what Nikki Haley, the former ambassador under Trump, had to say in her not so concession and not an endorsement speech. Cut number four, if you would please, Nate.
In all likelihood, Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee when our party convention meets in July. I congratulate him and wish him well. I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us.
In all likelihood, meaning there is some possibility in Nikki Haley's mind that Donald Trump would not be the nominee going into the convention. What she also does not state is that he will be the nominee coming out of the convention. See, these are the kind of things I read into this.
Oh, Domin is strategizing with the tea leaves and the reading into Nikki Haley's words. Let's keep doing it, Dom, because, you know, this is very insightful.
Let's play the next one, if you would, please. God, bye.
It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that.
Yeah, I don't think he will.
I don't know about earning. Didn't he say if you support Nikki Haley, we are banishing you from the mega movement? Wasn't she selling T-shirts on that? I mean, so at least she didn't endorse, but, you know, this whole thing is strange. No regrets. Haley, cut six, please, Nate.
I said I wanted Americans to have their voices heard. I have done that. I have no regrets. And although I will no longer be a candidate, I will not stop using my voice for the things I believe in.
She's trying to figure out how to monetize at this point.
Yes. To the women, Haley, giving some love out to the ladies out there. Cut number seven.
I end my campaign with the same words I began it, from the book of Joshua. I direct them to all Americans, but especially to so many of the women and girls out there who put their faith in our campaign. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.
She did not break that glass ceiling, Don.
I would encourage Haley to be strong and courageous and not be afraid. You know, we're talking about a guy who's been, civilly convicted of rape. That's the guy that she did not endorse, and maybe she will. And if she does, I hope she doesn't, but if she does, what are you going to say to the young women and girls then, Nikki Haley? And if for that matter, all you Republicans, all you megas out there, what are you going to say?
If he comes at you with tic-tac breath, watch out.
Run away? I mean, this is a game to them? I mean, we're talking about literally. You're going to take the time to quote your religious book for the women and girls out there. Meanwhile, the guy who's just defeated you, the guy who's been catapulted to the front of the Republican Party, the mega party, the mega king himself, the rapist mega king himself. So while I certainly appreciate the comments, I hope she sticks to them. A couple more from Nikki Haley dropping out today. I believe we're on cut number eight, please, Nate.
In this campaign, I have seen our country's greatness from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, America.
Thank you, America. America.
You're welcome. Thank you, San Diego. Keep it classy.
There are some people that in their concession, it's the strongest point of their campaign. I don't know if you recall, Dom, but we were at the Mary Burke concession speech, the night she lost to Scott Walker in 2014. It was the best damn speech she gave the entire elective cycle. I wish I could say the same for Nikki Haley.
Yeah. Well, something about the
not
finality
a memorable goodbye. I like when Scott Walker dropped out and said, you know, I'm clearing the field so a more conservative candidate can rise up. How'd that work out for you, wanker?
Well, didn't he just endorse Donald Trump for the second time? You know, the guy who he dropped out so a more conservative candidate could rise above and defeat? And now you're like everyone else kissing the ring? Bending the knee?
I believe he endorsed for a third time.
Oh, thank you for the clarification. One more from Nikki Haley dropping out. Cut number nine, please, Nick.
I have always been a conservative Republican and always supported the Republican nominee. But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind.
Okay.
All right. So how long until Nikki Haley endorses Donald Trump?
I give her 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Oh, man, really? You think she'll just give up that quickly? Yes. What about all those women and young girls out there to be strong, quoting the religious text of Joshua?
Again, I go back to the monetizing the post-electoral period. It's her turn to monetize them. And to monetize properly, she's going to need a media job, and she's going to have to be sufficiently loyal to the nominee, the Cheeto Messiah, because I don't think she's getting a job on MSNBC. They already got Nicole Wallace over there. You know what I'm saying? So if she wants the Foxy News job or the OAN job or whatever the farther down the right-wing talk radio and talk television dial might be, she's going to have to be sufficiently loyal, Dom. Kiss the ring. She will. They always do. Just ask Scott Walker. He did as well. 3 times. Once.
What about? Maybe
twice,
she waits.
Three times after. A loser, please. I'm sorry.
What? Maybe she waits until after the Alvin Bragg trial, the Trump criminal trial in Manhattan that starts in
You 19. Must endorse me if you were properly loyal before this witch hunt persecution goes to trial.
Or what? I don't know. I mean, so your assumption is it's all money driven and she's going to, you know,
yes.
cash out
yes.
and give away and give up and take back everything she said about the young women and the Bible and all that.
That was all for show.
For cash, for just to get paid.
Yes. So, for the future.
I want to be clear, because I'm not the religious guy, Prudy. Are you telling me it's your belief that Nikki Haley was being disingenuous when she quoted the Bible and encouraged the young women out there?
She may have bore false witness, yes. Disingenuous, sure. Whatever it takes, because if it's not about the cash, it's about the future ambition. And 4 years from now, even if Donald Trump wins, right? Open primary 4 years from now. Well, she had received enough.
What makes you think that? I mean, dictator on day one. I mean, why wouldn't he just instill Junior or Eric or one of the other kids? Well, what gives you any indication that it's just going to be all go on? I mean, isn't that kind of the point? Isn't that kind of the concern? This is not a matter of, well, when in 4 years, when Donald Trump, you know, realizes that he only can serve 2 terms, that he'll, you know, gracefully bow out. What you think that would actually happen? If the guy, number one, if the guy somehow skirts all the trials, somehow gets a win, and somehow lives long enough for another election cycle, you think Donald Trump would just bow out? I don't. Man.
I think that Nikki Haley thinks that Donald Trump will follow the, you know, the term limits of 2 terms. Because otherwise, why get out today? Why not just stay in through the trials, right? I mean, if you really had any sort of character, and this really mattered to you, and you thought that Donald Trump was an unelectable, and that's been the criticism she has over and over again. If you think that Donald Trump is indeed unelectable because of the 91 felonious accusations against him, stay at it, Nikki Haley. The only reason she's getting out, money and future ambition. Because otherwise, she'd stay in it. She's got nothing else to lose. She's got nowhere else to go. She's like Zach Mayo and an officer and a gentleman. She doesn't have to go back and serve or govern. You got no day job.
So right. I mean, I get that. What's the downside of staying in and being there and being critical?
You piss off the donor class. You hurt the MAGA and the Cheeto Messiah, and that will harm you as the future wannabe presidential nominee in 4 years. And in the meantime, you're going to need to make some money. So whether it's at the Heritage Foundation or the Coke Ranch or wherever you go, and, you know, I would say prostitute yourself next, Nikki Haley, and, you know, the political sort. Because she will have to prostitute herself to make money out of her failed political campaign. I mean, look at
singer.
Scott Walker's already got the post over at the Young Adolphs Foundation, so that job's taken. I don't know where they pay her off to go sit on the sidelines and stay out of the way, but they'll find a place for her.
844-96.
I don't know if you know, but yes. I've turned a little cynical on the political process.
Crude, you should be much more optimistic, like me. L.A. Tom, you're up. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government and not the corporations. So I hope everyone wakes up, realizes that, and fights to get money out of politics so we can restore government back.
Well,
to
Tom, let's talk about the California Senate race for just a minute. Super Tuesday in your state yesterday. And Adam Schiff came through the primary. Katie Porter, less so. It's Schiff against Steve Garvey, the Republican. Do you think it's going to be a close fall race? I mean, Adam Schiff, the ultimate Democratic insider, and Steve Garvey, a guy who got beaned in the head a few too many times.
No, Adam Schiff's going to win this thing. He'll be our next senator, as far as I'm concerned. I definitely want to do what I can to help. I might come back to Wisconsin and do some door knocking and get door to door to help my family and friends in Wisconsin, so Joe Biden ends up winning the election in Wisconsin. But the craziest thing is today, all day long, all I've been hearing about constantly from so many people, a lot of people, in fact, more people than I've ever heard before, they're saying, and I'm sure you guys have even heard it because it's all over the country. It's just everywhere. And even the media is saying it. They're saying rapist dementia Don. And you know, I mean, sure, if all these people are saying it, it's got to be true. And so, I mean, it's we know he's a rapist, and I think he does have dementia. I think he's losing his face. I think his face is actually peeling. It's just quite amazing that, like I said, everyone's talking about it, even Donald.
Tom, I see what you're doing here. You're just throwing it at his head and seeing if his face sticks. More Devil's Advocates, more for your phone calls. Be clever, though. We like a hot take. 844-967-2789.
Bring out today's I'm not dead.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines, 844-967-2789.
Dom, you know what else is dead? That RNC resolution to ban paying Trump's legal bills. That's been killed. It's DOA. So apparently they're leaving the door open as a Republican National Convention, as a party, to paying Trump's outstanding legal bills. And they're going to accumulate, I suspect.
Yeah, I would imagine. So are they also going to pay the judgments?
That's not clarified here, but let me give you what I can, Dom, from the Hill.
All right.
The Republican National Committee, not convention, my bad. I'm thinking of the party coming to your neck of the woods. The convention's in July, right? The Republican National Committee, RNC, failed to earn enough support from states to bring a resolution to ban paying former President Trump's legal bills to a vote. Henry Barber, who serves as Mississippi's National Committeeman, former governor, right? Confirmed to several news outlets that the resolutions he drafted that would have prohibited the committee from covering the former president's growing legal bills is dead.
So the American dream is dead.
The RNC is meeting Friday in Houston to elect a new chair after former chair Rona McDaniel Romney. They leave that out these days.
Romney
announced she would resign on March 8th. Now Barber confirmed to Politico that the resolution is dead and won't be voted on during Friday's meeting because he only received co-sponsors from 8 out of 10 required states to bring the resolution to a vote. Now, Trump has already endorsed his preferred replacement for McDaniel's former seat, RNC General Counsel Michael Whatley. He also endorsed his daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, to serve as the next co-chair. Because, you know, if you can't steer some money back through your daughter-in-law, Who can you grift through, Dom?
Well, and I applaud this effort. Congratulations, Republican Party. Good luck getting Andre Jacques some extra money to run some ads up in the Green Bay market when he runs for Congress. Sorry, Andre, can't do that. Got to cover a few million, I don't know, 50 million, was it in calendar year 2023? And if that was that in 2023, it'd probably be more in 2024 when he has what? I don't know, trial starting in 19 days and all the motions and all the action. Good luck, Republicans, down ticket. They're going to suck the life right out of those ads. You're not going to get jack squat from your national party. Congratulations. You should be able to get a lot of money, though, from the small dollar donors.
Now, more of the coverage here. Republican critics say the move is Trump's attempt to streamline the RNC with his campaign. They're merging their agendas, Dom.
Streamline. Is that what you call tapping the vein?
Prompting the major question of whether the party will pay his legal bills, Trump currently faces 91 felony charges across four separate investigations, and he was recently ordered to pay more than $355 million in a civil fraud case in New York. And that's accepting the $83.3 million that he owes the E. Jean Carroll. And my understanding is the appellate time frame has expired, Dom. He's on the clock. They're going to start trying to seize his assets for $83 million. They could take some stuff.
Well, wait until they start collecting on the half a billion or the $400 million from the New York State case. I mean, and that's what I'm thinking. We talk about the environment being changed or, you know, evolving. All of a sudden, the headline is going to be Trump Tower seized. You know, those kinds of things. And it's going to be all over. We're going to be talking about, oh, my God, they're taking it. This is going to, it's going to dominate the conversation on the Trump side. So, and that's what the Republicans, the MAGA party, want to do now. Of course, it's his party, baby. Do what you want. Tap it. But there's not going to be any legacy other than the stink of insurrection. Good luck, MAGAs, after Trump gets defeated or thrown in jail in the next election cycle. I mean, he is literally burying this party. We're watching this slow burn every single day. And when all of a sudden they start getting some of Trump's properties and, oh, goodness, don't even talk about the golf courses, he's going to lose his freaking mind.
So Trump's given the RNC the stink hand. And once you get that smell on you, you'll never get rid of it. The conclusion of this coverage at thehill.com, Dom, Trump's campaign advisors have said he won't ask the RNC for help with his legal bills, but according to the federal election filings posted in January, the former president's fundraising committee spent nearly $30 million on legal fees just in the second half of 2023.
Oh, so it's ramping up, should we say, right? So what, $40 million in the first half, $50 million in the first half? He could be on track for $100 million legal bill in 2024?
Theoretically, you know, depends.
Anything's possible.
Depends on what you're paying. You know, like if you pay what the taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin pays when Republicans hire private counsel, because that always gets pricey. Robin Voss is getting them for like $4.50 an hour, man. Gets real pricey. 844-967-2789. Against my better judgment, CJ, congratulations. Your guy won the nomination. Are you going to make the phone call today, CJ? Because you blew your chance recently.
Well, I am pretty excited about it. He wasn't my first choice. Actually, Nikki Haley was. But I hope she may be the VP. Hey, you know, I want to first off, thanks for taking my call. My sympathies to the good CJ, who had some tough things happen in his life. You know, the State of the Union, do you think Lake and Riley's parents are going to be there in the gallery?
I don't know. Is Marjorie Taylor Greene bringing them, CJ?
Well, I have a feeling the Republicans are going to be about as classy as Nancy Pelosi was during the Trump State of the Union. Wasn't that a beautiful sight of that woman?
When she
having the little
took his speech
behind
and
him?
Tore it in half and then gave him the golf clap. I thought it was, you know, about par for the course.
Hey, but, you know, I'm wondering, did Sage and Civic Radio use the Trump tax cuts when they expanded? I bet you they did. And I'm sure you can testify to that, too, Crudy.
I don't think the Trump tax cuts had one iota of effect on whether or not Sage bought radio stations or not. They're really unrelated, CJ.
But we'll throw it on there just to see, because he's got a bullet point talking list he needs to throw out there quickly. So thank you for the call, CJ. Please keep listening. And I do expect the decor of the Megas to, you know, live up to the standard, let's call it, during this State of the Union.
Back when Ron Johnson came bragging that he got those tax cuts for me and him.
Me.
And, you know, the Widow Hendricks and the U-Lines. If I had a profitable radio endeavor at that time, I would have got a minuscule designated C tax break. Yeah, and I would have cashed that check. I'm still carrying losses forward. You know, welcome to the radio business.